Bill, how are you today?
All right, Glenn. How about you? Michael, how are we doing?
I'll give you credit.
Doing pretty well.
You got the Cardinals shirt back on again.
How about those Cardinals?
Well, I'll give you credit. You're not Johnny come lately. You had it on before they actually won this thing.
Hey,
so.
I've been in Tony's corner for a long time now.
Yeah. It's just... be an interesting guy here in this town, wouldn't it?
Tony La Russa?
Might be interesting.
You hear anything? Is he interested?
Anything?
Red Sox vacancy?
Can you find out for us?
He's interested in winning the World Series. That's what he's interested in.
Did you talk to him before the season? Did he think that this team had it in it to get to the championship or World Series?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they just had a ton of injuries and went through a lot early, and then really they got their team back in August, and they were a long way out, but they were, they played their best baseball at the end of the season, and that's a good time to be playing it.
It was a great run, too. You talk about what happened to the Red Sox. They had just the opposite happen to them. They had a phenomenal run down the stretch.
A lot of good players on that team, though.
Let me ask you this. In comparison to football, having a run, and you've seen a team do that to you, where you guys had a phenomenal season. Giants had that great run the last five or six games. I don't think anybody thought in 07 that they were going to be the team that would be in the Super Bowl representing the NFC. And we're talking about the Cardinals having a run. How big is that in that you want your team to win every week? You want your team to peak as early as you possibly can because you just feel better about it. But really, the last five or six games may determine an awful lot about what you do when it comes to the bigger goal.
Well, I think you want to keep improving every week. I mean, nobody at the beginning of the season is where they are at the end of the year. I mean, you can't be. So you take all those practice opportunities and all those in football. In football, it's mainly practice. There's no practice in baseball. All they do is play games. But in football, there's a lot of practice opportunities, and there's some game opportunities. You take the combination of those and build on them. You know, in baseball, you have a little training camp, and then after that, all you do is play. There's no practice. So you can improve in games in baseball because you have enough of them. You don't have enough games in football. If that's the only day you improve is on game day, then you're never going to catch the rest of the league.
Yeah, I mean, what a contrast between the sports. Could you imagine you only can practice in February and March in baseball, and then after that, you just got to hope that momentum from the fundamental training for those 6 weeks lasts you the entire season for the most part.
Yeah, there's no practice once the season starts, so. It's just it's different, that's all. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I mean, it's just different.
Now, with you guys yesterday looking at it, I'm thinking, all right, does Bill look at this and say, hey, a victory in the NFL, it's hard enough, so I'll take it? Or does he look at it and say, damn, there are a lot of mistakes that we made, a lot of missed tackles, we have a lot to work on. What was your take when you went back and you looked at the film from yesterday? What was the thing that just jumped out at you?
Well, we did some good things, and we had some problems. I mean, anytime you turn the ball over four times, your odds of winning aren't very, very high. So, I don't think that's a good formula for us. But, when all was said and done, I thought that, the team played pretty good football there in the last 4 minutes. Had a good punt, covered it well, held them, got the ball back, moved it down, score. And that's when we had to play our best football. We didn't have any margin for error. We'd already made enough mistakes in the game to put ourselves in that predicament. But fortunately, our players were able to respond at that time and make the plays that counted make the plays when they counted the most. And that's why we won. And had we not made those plays, we would have been a different result.
You addressed the tackling when the game was over. Does it have anything to do with the fact that you're not in his pads as often as you have been in previous years? Would that have anything to do with you're not hitting as much?
We've worked on it a lot, and we need to keep working on it. So that's all there is. I don't know.
Because they've kind of changed your schedule this year, or the schedule of how often they can wear pads. I'm just wondering.
Well, every team's got the same schedule.
Right.
So we'll work on the things we need to work on. I mean, there's a lot of things we need to work on. Not turning the ball over, kick returns, tackling. It's a significant list, so we'll work on all of them.
Vince, we had Vince on earlier, and he was talking about the Cowboys and how they're known for breaking tackles. I mean, is that out of the ordinary, out of the opponents that you've faced so far? Is this a team that is much more adept at breaking tackles than some of your previous opponents?
Well, I think they're skill players. Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't limit
backs and receivers, yeah.
I'd say they're all pretty good at it. I mean, Witten's good at breaking tackles. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, Romo's an elusive guy. The backs, especially Felix Jones, they're good. That's what the defensive, that's what a defensive player's job is to get the guy with the ball, get him on the ground. So that's defensive football. You got to be able to tackle. That's the finale. That's the end of the play. You've got to be able to make those plays. So, but they're good. Yeah, there's no question. They're good. They're good runners, good skill players. They're not just get open, catch the ball, and fall down. Those guys can gain a lot of yards after they catch it. Backs are good. But we see good backs every week. We see good receivers every week. So it'll be the last time.
When you talk about stopping guys, and yesterday through a good portion of the game, you seem to jam Jason Witten and do a pretty effective job on him. What is that fine line, Bill? When you're doing that, and a team like that has so many weapons, because you really kept Witten down for a good portion of the game. How difficult is that when you got one guy down, and yet this team can come at you so many different ways?
Well, you just said you have to play good team defense. I mean, you can't double everybody. You can't, set your defenses to take away all of them. You have to pick your spots. If you want to put more coverage on one guy, that takes less of it off somebody else. Or if you want to put more guys in the running game, that gives you fewer guys in the passing game. Or more guys in the passing game gives you fewer guys in the running game. So, you have to find that balance. But the bottom line is you got to play good team defense. And everybody's got to do their job. Somewhere along the line, you're going to be maybe not in a favorable matchup, and you hope you can hold up there.
At some point in the off season, when you're on your boat or just maybe hanging out with Tony La Russa in a dugout in February or March, do you ever allow yourself to think about some of the achievements? I mean, yesterday, with your win, you keep going up the charts with the quarterback coach combo in terms of victories, up there with Null and Bradshaw, up there with Marino passing them, Marino and Shula. Do you ever think about that stuff? I'm sure you don't think about it during the season, but do you ever just sit back and go, oh, that's pretty cool, as you're having a drink?
Well, yeah. Well, we're in it to win. So when you have when you've won, and when somebody says, you've won a lot more than anybody else has, or you've won more than somebody else has, I mean, that's a compliment. It's a good feeling. That's what we're here for. So Tom's a great quarterback. We're very fortunate to have him as our quarterback, and he does a great job for us. The fact that we've won a lot of games together is what we set out to do. So I'm happy about that, sure. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. I'd much rather be in the winning column than in the, yards or first downs or, some other statistic that is relevant, but it's not as important as wins. And so wins and championships, that's what it's all about.
I noticed with both Bill and Nick talking today, a lot of people asking questions about Chad Ochocinco, and obviously you can probably figure out why. We're looking at the production and no catches yesterday and one target. What's your take on what he is contributing to the team overall? Because they talked about him as being a really good practice player.
Right. Well, I think we can come in here after every game and talk about, one player who didn't have production and other players who did, and we'll be able to go back and forth on that, every week, and pick out some guy that didn't have many tackles or some guys who didn't have a lot of production and find somebody else that did. So, that's what we'll be doing that every single week,
But I think with a guy like this, and maybe we're expecting too much, maybe because he does have a marquee name, he's had himself a pretty productive NFL career, that we expect too much. Are you in any way disappointed with what you're getting out of Ochocinco?
Well, what we're expecting to do is to win. It's go out there and move the ball and score points, and I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of that. So if we can produce offensively as a team and everybody's doing their job, which involves a lot of different things, then that's good. And if we're not, then we got to do better. I mean, we're trying to do better anyway, but that's, you're talking about team production, and it's a team sport. So same thing on defense, The more we can turn the ball over, stop teams, get the ball back for the offense, be in good field position, it doesn't mean everybody's going to have the most tackles or the most this or the most that. It's how we function as a team. And if guys are doing their job, then they're going to play more, they're going to get more opportunities, they're going to be on the field. And if they're not, then somebody else will probably be doing it instead of them. So.
And I was just going to address the fact that he hasn't been on the field that much on yesterday. I think he was on for sort of seven or eight snaps. I think it was seven snaps. understand his team production, but why so few snaps, I guess, is the question for him.
Yeah, well, again, you know, some of that's game plan related. You know, it's not the number of snaps, it's the amount of production, you know, with the opportunities. So obviously players that only get so many opportunities are going to have few opportunities to have production than other players, but the important thing is when they do get those opportunities that they make the most of them in whatever their job, whatever their assignment is on that particular play. So that's really how I look at it.
We saw the defense, Dallas's defense, the Rob Ryan defense, with a lot of movement. Was that similar to what you saw last year with Cleveland?
Similar to what we saw with Cleveland. It's similar to what we saw in their previous four games this year.
But did he throw anything different? You look like you guys were looking at a lot of pictures early on in this game, more so than you normally do. Did I read too much into it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I thought it was, that's the way they play. And I think we addressed it like we normally do during the game, yeah.
And then the no huddle, it did seem to really throw them off. And obviously you've done it before, but that was something that in the previous games that you've seen from the Cowboys, have they had that thrown at them? Because it seemed to really confuse them at times.
Well, you know, they do a lot of substitution. They have a lot of communication. So, you know, to up-tempo them is definitely one strategy to try to, put more pressure on that whole part of the operation. We did some of that yesterday. At times we didn't huddle and went faster, or other times we didn't. We changed the pace on them. But, I think that's one way to counteract some of the moving around or the multiple things that they're doing is to make them declare quicker what they're going to do and not give them the amount of time to disguise it and shift it and so forth that maybe they want.
You know, it's so funny. I think we all, Glenn asked if he was overthinking and looking at pictures. I think we all are guilty of this. Sometimes we give you guys credit, the coaches credit for, hey, you know, the Rob Ryan defense did this and the Bill Belichick defense did this. And the bottom line is, as you said, you had four turnovers. I mean, if you don't turn the ball over four times, we're probably not giving a lot of credit to the Rob Ryan defense today.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, they did a good job, but at the same time, we got to do a better job. You know, we can't get the ball up that easily or that often, and that's not a formula for winning games. So we got by with it. We won in spite of it, but that's not the way we want to play.
You know, in some cases, I was thinking about that. I remember it was Tom Coughlin when he first got to Tiki Barber, and he changed this the way he was carrying the ball. Tiki Barber was known as a fumbler, and all of a sudden, he's not fumbling in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of his career. When you talk to a guy about ball security, is it a combination depending on what you see? Is it you got to take care of the ball by any means, or do you go to him and say, look, you got to take care of the ball, and that means you've got to put your hand here, or you got to hold it closer to your body? What's your approach there? Is it just take care of the ball, and I don't care how you do it, just do it? Or are you showing them specific things that they need to do to have better ball security?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We show them – I mean, we talk about it from day one, and we show specific examples of plays where the ball isn't secured, even though it may not come out on that particular play. It's still that it's not secured properly, or examples of – or where it is secured properly, you know, where we take a good hit or contact, but the ball does, you know – We do maintain possession of it because it's done properly. Show examples of, you know, other players, you know, Ware, for example, or guys like that on their team, you know, how they try to dislodge the ball, some of the techniques or some of the guys that they have that are doing it to make our players aware of, you know, who their turnover guys are, how they try to get the ball out. So, yeah, it's a combination of all those things. Making good decisions with the ball, but also using proper technique when you're handling it, so that you give the opponents the least amount of opportunity to disrupt it or dislodge it.
You know, I'd imagine it's a balance too, because some guys are going on instinct and say, hey, this is how I run the football, this is what I do. But if you bring thinking into it too much, then you lose some of the spontaneity and the instinct that they have. So it's just getting that balance of good technique and making it part of what you naturally do.
Yeah. Well, I don't really agree with that. I think you think about taking care of the ball, because I don't think there's anything more important than that. So,
What do you mean you don't agree with that? How do you not agree with me right now? I understand.
you know, when I was at Cleveland, one of the things I learned from Ozzie Newsome was when he, you know, talked to me about his career, and when he was a rookie, he fumbled at the end of a game and cost the, you know, cost him a chance to win in the fourth quarter, and that was his rookie season. And for the next, 11 years, 630-some catches, there were no more fumbles. So he made a concerted effort from that point on to not fumble again, and he didn't for 11 years, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So I think, you know, if as a player you're committed to learn how to hit the curveball, learn how to not fumble, learn how to do different skills at your particular position, then you work hard on those and you learn how to do them. And I've seen countless players that I've coached improve in their ball security or whatever other fundamental that you are teaching. And, you know, instinct might be instinct, but I don't think that has anything to do with doing it right and doing what the things are the most important for you to be successful at your position and help your team win.
Are they more disastrous when there really wasn't great contact? Somebody just swiped it slightly?
It was on Slater.
Yeah, right. Does that upset you even more? Because that's really not protection of the ball.
Well, it's like a lot of things. If something isn't done properly, it doesn't take a lot for something to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, look, nobody feels worse about those plays than the people that are involved with them or missed tackles or, you know, bad coaching decisions, or we all make them. You know, we all make those kind of mistakes. You try to make as few as possible, learn from them, and fundamentally do the things right the highest percentage amount of time and hope that that prevents them. But, you know, they still happen, and that's not good. But, you know, you have to try to correct them and make sure it doesn't happen again. And like I said, the Ozzie Newsome story, I can't, you know, I worked with Ozzie for a long time. I have a lot of respect for him. And you know, when he talked about what he went through as a player and how he handled it and what he did with it, I mean, I can't think of a better example. And I've told that to our players, and not just from ball security, but in other matters. But it's, you know, it's all about, you know, commitment and how important it is to you. If it's important enough to you to do it right in whatever part of your life you're living, then you'll probably get it. And if it really isn't, you don't really care, and it's just an afterthought, then it's probably going to continue to happen over again.
Brady said this morning that you had called the timeout there at the end because you wanted to get protection. You thought that light was a little beaten up, and you wanted to get protection, obviously, from that that side DeMarcus Ware was on. Obviously, it worked, whatever you did. Was that the reason? That's what you were calling that timeout for?
Well, we just wanted to set the whole, you know, situation up. We had, it was about 30 seconds, a little over 30 seconds maybe, and we were in field goal range, so we were in position to, you know, to send the game into overtime as long as we didn't turn the ball over or run out of time. So we just wanted to make sure that we had that all cleared up. A lot of times you save a timeout for the field goal, but we felt like we would rather talk about making sure we get our best, you know, couple plays there to try to score. And but then by using that timeout, we would have had to we would have had to stop the clock offensively to get the field goal team, you know, on the field. So 27. Yeah, okay. It's right around 30 seconds. Yeah, 27. Yeah. So, you know, it was trying to get everything straight. You know, the plays, the protections, the, you know, the strategy of if we had to kick it and so forth. So, you know, so we spent that last timeout to kind of talk that out. Again, the other strategy would be to hang on to your timeout so you'd have it right at the very end and take it with, you know, a few seconds left so you can get your field goal team on there and kick it. So, you know, we've done it both ways, but that was, we want to make sure we talked about the opportunity to score there because we had a chance to win as opposed to, you know, kicking the field goal to win. Then that, you know, would have been a little bit different setup.
I want to ask you about the strategy at the after the score. At one point you had Gronkowski playing back, and I know your teams have done this before. I remember when you were with the Jets, I think it was a playoff game against Jacksonville. You know, Keyshawn Johnson was playing back too.
I bet Keyshawn back there. Randy was back there.
Yeah.
So, sure.
In those cases, the positives are obvious. I mean, these guys have good hands. They've got good height. How about playing the position? Do you ever think about these guys who are not natural defensive players being back there and possibly doing something that could extend the game, like a pass interference on a tight end or pass interference penalty on a wide receiver?
Well, yeah, we definitely talked to them about that, and really what they're back there for is to play the ball. You know, they're not back there to contact receivers and all that. They're back there to play the ball. And as you said, they have good height. They have good ball skills. They're able to, you know, go up and take the ball at the high point, which is really what that play is about, is, you know, going up there and getting the ball and timing the jump and being able to either catch it or knock it down or whatever. So that's really the reason for using those players. And it's not really to guard a particular receiver. It's to play the ball.
And those guys enjoy it, it seems like. And the guys are back there.
You know what? I think a lot of players, you know, when they get to do something that's a little bit different, you know, you do the same thing, you know, play the same position over and over again, year after year after year, high school, college, you know, and then you get to do something a little bit different. And, you know, you move Vrabel to tight end, or you know, put Gronkowski or Randy back there to, you know, get a chance for an interception. It's, you know, it's fun. It's a little different. And they seem to enjoy it.
Well, you, until this point, have probably been the most scrutinized coach when it comes to hugs and handshakes and everything else when the game is over. I don't think you have to worry about that anymore, Bill. I think they have,
right behind you,
I think they have some new footage yesterday. That was something brand new, and I don't expect you to sit here and rat out the coaches. But if you can't try to explain, it's got to be a difficult position. Your whole livelihood is based on winning and losing these games. And at the end, one team wins and one team loses. And yet everybody's looking at you, expecting you to be Henry Kissinger, you know, at the bargaining table or whatever, that everything is good. Is it a difficult thing to do when the game is over? Because you have to hold back your emotions, and maybe your emotions are not true out there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of different things going through your mind at the end of the game, and so, you know, that's one of them.
Well, you know what's interesting in how people are looking at it? People are taking sides, but some people are taking both sides, because you're sitting there going, I can put myself in Jim Schwartz's position. I can put myself in Harbaugh's position. I put myself in both positions, because you're looking at what both guys were facing out there. Is it an uncomfortable practice that the NFL has, that, you know, everybody goes out there and at the end of the game, the two coaches go out there and shake hands? Because you got all the people running out in the field, and you're sitting there trying to find your way. Half the time, it's, you know, you can see the coaches just trying to find the other coach. They can't find them to the sea of people or whatever. Is it an uncomfortable situation?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, you always want to go out there as the winning coach, that's for sure. But, I mean, I don't think so. You know, I think probably when, like a lot of things in football, it's, you know, it's become something a lot different than what it really was intended to be or what it really is. You know, I think there was a time when you could go out there and actually, you know, exchange some words with, you know, your competitor after the game. Like a lot of other players do, you have a relationship with a guy or whatever, and after the game you go up and say something to him and, you know, talk for a couple seconds and then go into your locker room and that's it. And, you know, the coach, you can easily, you know, go up and you could say something to the coach about the game, you know, if you lost, to congratulate him, or if you want to maybe talk about the way his team played or whatever. But, you know, of course, now it's so heavily scrutinized by the media that's, you know, an event bigger than the game itself, which is, you know, it's so absurd. So it takes, like a lot of things, it takes any personalization out of the game and, you know, and then makes it a public, you know, public topic of discussion. So, I mean, I think it's pretty ridiculous that the media focuses on it the way it does. You know, I'd like to think that the reason that the people are there is to see the game and to see the competition, but, you know, we seem to want to talk about everything but the game. So that's not uncommon. You know, that's the media's job, so that's what they do. But, it certainly takes away from, you know, as a coach, the things that you would say. So you find other times to do it, you know, that's outside of that, you know, maybe before the game, or maybe it's a phone call to the coach after the game and that kind of thing.
You know, it's amazing. You just said it. I'm going back and I'm trying to remember how it started. How do we start focusing on it? I just remember some of the just average games throughout NFL history that I've watched where I didn't focus on the post-game handshake, and it's become a big deal in the last 10 years?
Well, in TV when the game is over, that's directly where they go.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, it's funny. Now, Doc in basketball, now basketball is a different culture altogether.
You wave.
But, yeah, Doc sometimes waves at guys, and Paul Pierce teases him about it. He watches the wave. He goes, oh, not friendly with that guy. Oh, long time friends with that guy. It's okay. That's one of those waves. I'll see you later. That's one of those waves. I don't like you. But it all takes on this whole psychology. with it. How about the other thing with coaching yesterday? Sean Payton, torn MCL and a broken leg, playing on the sideline.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, I mean, you know, same thing happened to Charlie, you know, at Notre Dame.
Right.
I mean, was his third year at Notre Dame where he got hit there. And yeah, and that's, you know, that happens. It happens, you know, we've all been hit on the sidelines, and it certainly happens in practice, especially as a defensive coach where you're, you know, standing behind the defense. I mean, it's a lot easier to get out of the way on the offensive side of the ball, but things happen over there too, you know, reverses or the quarterback scrambles or something. But, you know, defensively, you're standing back there in the secondary, and those guys are moving pretty fast, and, you know, it's hard to get out of the way, or you kind of misjudge, you know, what happens on the play, and you just don't give yourself enough room, and, you know, you get mowed down by one of those guys. It could be, you know, you'll feel it. They're big, they're fast, and, you know, they're not really concentrating on you. They're focused on the other players out there. And so whether you're an official or, you know, you're a coach on the sideline or you're a coach at practice, you got to give them some space.
You know, it's funny. If Teddy were here, he could tell the story. He's mentioned before that your dad got hit in practice. And people went over to him and tried to help him up, and your dad jumped up and said, maybe I can take it. Leave me alone. Not a big deal. I can handle being hit on a football field. That was what was that? Was that 01 or 02 when he got?
He took a couple shots, you know, onto Bucky's fumble return there in the Rams game in the Super Bowl. You know, you got a run over on that one. And Otis's interception in 96 against Jacksonville, or against the Giants, rather, in 96 down there in New York. You get hit on that one. Mark Ingram, when I was with the Browns, Mark Ingram caught a pass and, you know, mowed me down on the sideline. I wasn't really watching him. I was watching the pass rush, and when the quarterback released the ball, then I looked, and Ingram was, you know, coming right at me, caught it, knocked me under the water table. You know, it's a pretty good hit. But, you know, when that happens, I usually come up swinging, and, you know, even if it hurts, you don't want to let them know. So you jump up there and say, Mark, you all right? You know, he goes, no, I thought you were okay. No, I'm fine. I just want to make sure you are right, you know.
Yeah, a guy in pads and a guy is sitting there and standing there in khakis and a polo, and you're asking him if he's all right. But I guess you find out about the speed of the game when you're down there and a guy hits you like that.
You absolutely do. Yeah, you absolutely do, because they – like I said, they're big and they're fast, and you know, that's speed times strength equals power, and that's what there's a lot of it, you know. And I know from being a defensive coach and standing on the defensive side of the ball and feeling, you know, the Sean Jeffersons and, you know, guys like that that are fast, and the Gronkowskis, and are big, that can run, and they're, you know, they're gaining on you in a hurry, and they, you know, there's a lot of speed, there's a lot of power there.
You could see it yesterday with Sean Payton. Your instinct is not to run. You know, that's what fans do. That's what cheerleaders do. Yeah. You know, cameramen do that sometimes. But your job is to sit there and to observe what's going on. And sometimes when you're, you know, a coordinator, you're looking at something different than what you're seeing there. So your instinct is to stay there, right? Not to get out of the way, not to move.
Yeah. And, you know, I got hit a couple of years ago on a punt return where the gunner went out of bounds, and then as he came back in, I wasn't even watching him. I was actually watching the play, and you know, and he just trying to, you know, find his way back on the field, and just, you know, ran over me. So hey, you gotta watch it there. You know, it's why a lot of times our injured players, you know, we don't put them on the sidelines, because I mean, you know, really they can't move. Kind of depending on what the injury is, but, you know, saying a guy's got a leg injury, he's on crutches or something like that, I don't think that's really a good place for them to be watching the game. You just never know. Sometimes those guys end up all the way past the bench or, you know, back there by the tail. You know, that's a tough one for Sean. I mean, I feel for him. Boy, that was a big hit.
And he was down there.
He wouldn't leave.
That's right. He scored once, and you see him on the cart or on the bench, you know, giving him, oh, yeah, go for it.
Well, what do you do? Yeah. I mean, the player gets carted out,
yeah,
and they go through x-rays or whatever, and they take a you're the coach, right?
Go to the press box, I guess.
You can't leave.
Yeah. Ask Joe. Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno. You can't
he won't
leave
ever.
All right, final.
But you're going to watch, speaking of watching the game, you're going to watch this tonight, Jets-Dolphins, or are you going to – catch the coach's tape?
Sure, later. Yeah. No, it'd be good. You know, it's nice to have the bye week, you know, a little bit of extra time and do some things you don't you know, normally get to do. And really watching a Monday night game, especially when it's teams in your division, you know, that'll be interesting. So, you know, get done a little bit early and get a chance to just sit back and see it. I mean, somebody's got to lose. They're in our division, so that's good.
There's some good out of this anyway. All right, we'll catch you next week, and we'll talk, obviously, about the bye week and the first game as you guys head to Pittsburgh right after the bye.
All right, sounds good.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks,
Bill.
Michael.
Okay, Bill, see you.
Good luck with those Cardinals, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Bill Belichick here on The Big Show.